I'll begin reading at verse 1. And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day that the Amalekites had invaded the south, and Ziklag had smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire. Now, give you the background. This morning I spoke to you from 17th chapter of 1 Samuel, and I mentioned that David, in many ways, is a type of Christ. Well, let's just look at this chapter here and see some things that's happened. Burned it with fire. Now, the Amalekites are a constant foe to Israel. I mentioned the Philistines this morning. The Amalekites are people that harass Israel all the time. Again, they're the tool of the devil. And they burned the city with fire. And they've taken the women captives that therewith they slew not any. That's interesting. The enemies come in and they take this city, burn it with fire, but they don't kill anybody, either great or small, but carried them away and went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burnt with fire, and their wives and their sons and their daughters had taken captives. Then David and the people that were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep. And David's two wives were taken captives, Ahinoam the Jezreelitess, and Abigail, the wife of Nabal the Carmelite. And David was greatly distressed. Now, again, David, a type of Christ. You say, well, our Lord never got distressed. Well, I'll mention to you a few things. One of them, particularly in the garden when he's praying before he goes to Calvary, and not distressed, but he said, my soul is exceedingly sorrowful. And in many ways, our Lord was tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Did he ever become discouraged? Not in a real sense, the word, but he knew what discouragement was. He dealt with mortal beings, human beings. And he was with Peter, James, and John up on the mountain. Came down off the mountain Transfiguration and found some of the disciples had tried to cast a demon out of a young man, and they couldn't do it. And he said something, oh, faithless generation, how long must I endure you, or something of that nature? I'm paraphrasing. Suffer you, I think the word is there. He was somewhat perplexed. I think our Lord, in the human aspect, at times became distressed. By that I mean distressed, perplexed with human beings, with those who profess to follow him. David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him. Now, can you imagine that? David, who was the center of their worship, in a sense, they said Saul has slain his thousands, but David has slain his 10,000s. And David, who is to be anointed king over Israel, David's army here, his band of men that followed with him, not very large, but, you know, they're going to blame it all on David. And so they were going up and stone David. What's that going to help with the problem? And the reason being, because the soul of all the people was grieved or bitter, every man for his sons and for his daughters. And so everyone's going to blame David. Always the blame person. We've got to find someone to blame about this situation. Find someone to complain to about our problems, rather than asking ourselves, you know, why are we here in this situation? What's happened? Why has it happened? What's going on? It's an easy game to play to blame somebody, and to blame especially somebody else. But now look at verse 6. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. And David said to Abiathar the priest and Ahimelech, Ahimelech's son, I pray thee, bring me hither the ephod. And Abiathar brought thither the ephod to David. And David inquired at the Lord, saying, now, what this is somewhat like a bag. And it has lots in it. And as I understand it, this was a means of discerning some things when there was no scripture, no law that said yea or nay about some things. And it was called the ephod. And David inquired the Lord, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, and thou shalt surely overtake them, and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men that were with him, and came to the brook Beshor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, which were so faint that they could not go over the brook Beshor. And they found an Egyptian in the field, and brought him to David, and gave him bread, and he did eat, and they made him drink water. And they gave him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread nor drunk any water 3 days and three nights. And David said to him, to whom belongest thou? Whence art thou? And he said, I am a young man of Egypt, servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me because 3 days ago I fell sick. And we made an invasion upon the south to the Kirathites, and upon the coast which belongeth to Judah, and upon the south of Caleb. And we burned Ziklag with fire. And David said to him, canst thou bring me down to this company? He said, swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I'll bring thee down to this company. When he had brought him down, behold, they were spread abroad upon all the earth, eating and drinking and dancing because of all the great spoil that they had taken out of the land of the Philistines and out of the land of Judah. And David smote them from the twilight even unto the evening of the next day, and there escaped not a man of them, save 400 young men which rode upon camels and fled. And David recovered all that the Amalekites had carried away, and David rescued his two wives, and there was nothing lacking to them, neither small nor great, neither sons nor daughters, neither small spoil, nor anything that they had taken to them. David recovered all. And David took all the flocks and the herds which they drove before those other cattle, and said, this is David's spoil. David came to the 200 men which were so faint they could not follow David, whom they had made also to abide at the brook of Beshor. And they went forth to meet David and to meet the people that were with him. And when David came near to the people, he saluted them. Then answered all the wicked men of Belial, of those that went with David, and said, because they went not with us, we will not give them aught of the spoil that we have recovered, save to every man his wife and his children, that they may lead them away and depart. Then said David, you shall not do so, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us into our hand. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is that goeth down to the battle, so shall his part be that tarrieth by the stuff, and they part alike. And it was so that day forward that he made a statute for an ordinance for Israel unto this day. Now, here is a story in the experience of David. It's not by accident that it happened. Paul tells us that all these things happen for examples unto us. These things happen that we might have comfort, being encouraged, have hope. Why does this thing happen? Well, I said that David to me is a type of Christ. And his wife, of course, there's two wives here now, but his wives are taken captive. But they are spared. Uniquely, nobody's killed. Normally in a battle, normally in a situation like this, somebody gets killed. But nothing, no one is killed. Children, the wives, no one is killed. And they take away the spoil, and they go out a distance, and David and his men are able to recover everything, everything that was taken, even more stuff that the Amalekites that they had taken also. And so everything is recovered and brought back. Now, let's go back here and just analyze this thing for a minute. Did or did not this event happen by the will of God? Most certainly. Why did God allow it to happen? Well, I don't know all the reason for it, why it happened, but there's some lessons to be learned here, I think, maybe, something. First of all, if David is a type of Christ, he most certainly will and always recover all of his people, save all of his people. Not a one of his people shall ever perish. Also, he has his church. So I mentioned that the wife of King David, type of the church. Sometimes the church seems to be overrun by her enemies. We noted in the 14th chapter of, well, the 12th chapter of Revelation, the church must flee into the wilderness, where she is there nourished for a season, a prepared place for her. But she is not destroyed. She sometimes must flee. Sometimes she experiences great tribulations, great persecution. Sometimes she is harassed and seems like she disappears from off the face of the earth. But she's not destroyed. So as the Amalekites take the wives and the children, they take them out of the possession of King David for a while, yet they're not lost. They're totally and completely recovered. So the story has a very good ending to it. Happy ending to it, we would say. Though it was a very trying situation. Fact matter, it is so distressful. Verse 6, and David was greatly distressed, for the people spake of stoning him, blaming David for all that's happened. Because the soul of all the people were grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. Now, I have spoken from this text this sometimes past, and I titled the sermon, "What Are You Going to Do When the Well Runs Dry?" And maybe you've heard me speak on this, so that title might bring it to your mind. I was reared in the country. Some people who've been reared in the country can relate to what I'm talking about. We didn't have what we call city water. Our water came to us from a spring way up on the mountains. We lived there probably about 6 years, if I'm not mistaken, or 4 years. Two different summers, we had a severe drought in the area. And both times, our spring went dry. In due time, my father had a well drilled, and that drilled well then provided us water through the next summer. But a distressful time is when the well goes dry in a farm. We have a lot of famine right now. We have another drought right now in America. We have some very serious droughts here in America right at the moment. We have farmers who are losing their cattle, losing their farms, simply because of the drought. We're in serious condition here in America because of this drought. And if God is not merciful toward us, it's going to get worse, and it's going to cause food bills and other things to go up. It's a very stressful thing to be without water, especially country people and on a farm. When the well goes dry, there's just a great stress. Recently on television, there was a series about the Dust Bowl out west. When the droughts kept accumulating, as a result of that, land that was farmed at one time became nothing but covered with sand and dirt, dust. And farmers had to forsake their houses, leave stuff. And they showed pictures of, and the people were talking about how that they would get up in the morning, and because the dust would blow through the house, They'd have to wipe the dust off their tables before they could, and dishes. They had to wipe them off. It was just a stressful time because of the drought. You and I, from time to time, have problems that come into our lives. Droughts. Stressful times. David here gives us a pattern, an example of what to do. Verse 6. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. There's nothing anyone else can do for you when you're discouraged, when you are depressed. I've been there those times. I know what it's like. People can say things to you, try to tell you to be encouraged. And that's not wrong to do that. And we ought to encourage one another. But the bottom line is, it is a very personal struggle, issue. David encouraged himself in the Lord, and the Lord gave him promise, and he recovered all, everything. Nothing was lost. We are living in hard times in America. I'm fearful that it's going to get even worse. Again, I related about conditions in America in 1941. When Pearl Harbor happened. I imagine that people in America at that date, in that time, were very fearful what was going to happen. I know one thing that happened was that people in America began to pray. Churches were full. I've talked to preachers who preached during those time periods, and they preached almost all time, every Sunday, to packed churches, every denomination, packed churches. City and country churches both. That's when the beginning of Wednesday night prayer meetings began, was during World War II. And Wednesday night, black matter, that's when it began the custom of closing down stores on Wednesday afternoons when people get ready and go to church on Wednesday night. Nothing was to keep people from going to church. Throughout the week, church doors were left unlocked so people could come in and pray. Our country became a praying people. And again say, were it not for the hand of the Lord, we would have been defeated in World War II. But God's people began to pray. God sent a revival of praying upon America, and God delivered us from our adversaries. But I will say to you that World War II has been the last time that America has ever gone to a war or to a battle trusting in the Lord. We've always gone to them every time trusting in our own military might. And there has not been a battle that we have fought whereby that we have been the decisive victor since that time. Or you can say that we such and such battle, and Desert Storm and so forth. I'm not speaking about battles. I'm talking about a war. And that Desert Storm thing that is still going on. And we are losing in that issue, I think. That's not my issue at the moment. It's simply to say we are not a country today that looks and trusts in the Lord. Now, we could put the blame on everybody else, but the issue is what we as God's people are doing. What are we going to do? David encouraged himself in the Lord. Now, world issues, world problems may not be much concern to you, but every one of us from time to time meet with issues that seem as distressful as David. Can you imagine David and his men coming back to a town with their hometown, and their hometown is burned, and there's not a soul left in the town. All of their children, all of their wives are gone. They've lost everything. Can you just, will you see how stressful, distressed they were, and how they turned to just want to stone David? And David encourages himself in the Lord. Now, there's, to say, some things to be learned here. First of all, it was the devil's design and intent to destroy David, to prevent him from becoming the king that God had ordained for him to be. And so one of the things that he does, he brings this the Amalekites against his family at Ziklag, and as a result, it stirs up his men against him. Who would have ever expected that these men were going to turn against David? Why, these men were loyal to David. Oftentimes, the devil uses people who are closest to us to try and discourage us, to try to defeat us. Now, they may not mean to. Certainly, these people here meant to kill David. Unfortunately, God restrained them from doing that. But oftentimes, it is that our best of friends, our closest friends sometimes, are a means of discouraging of us. And David does the one thing that he needs to do. He goes to the Lord and encourages himself in the Lord. And he inquires of God. That tells me he began praying. This past week, I was talking to another person about a family of persons who are having some problems. And I said, we need to pray for them. And we do. I won't mention who it was. It's not important. But God's people need to pray for each other. And we need to pray for encouragement from the Lord. Help from the Lord. You know of anyone that's discouraged? Pray for them. If you are discouraged, pray. Be encouraged of the Lord. I've been there. Am gone through these things. But I will tell you, God brings his people through trials and testings to purify us. And you're going to deal with these issues, one of two ways. You're going to deal with whatever it is that you have to deal with in your life, job, finances, marital problems, political problems, whatever problem it is that confronts us, you're going to have to deal with it one of two ways. You're going to deal with it leaning on the arm of flesh, or you're going to deal with it, get help from the Lord. And God will tell you in his word. That's what David did. David went to the Lord, and the Lord told him what to do. A man called me this past week. He asked me for some advice and counsel about the matter. I told him, I said, I'm not God. I can't tell you what's right and what's wrong on this issue. But I said, I can tell you who does, who knows. He said, who? I said, the Lord. And you need to pray. And you need to ask God about this matter. And you need to ask God for his direction. He said to me, Brother Herb, he said, thank you. He said, you told me what I know I need to hear. And he said, what you said is right. And I don't know what the man will do about the issue, but that was my advice and counsel, and he recognized it as being the right thing in counsel. But I did give him this advice. Seek ye first the kingdom of God, his righteousness, and all these other things will be added unto you. I tell people a lot of times, Proverbs 3, in all thy ways acknowledge the Lord, and he shall direct thy paths. Lean not on thy own understanding, but trust in the Lord. It's a stressful time when God's churches and God's people have problems. And sometimes it seems like the devil burns our houses, burns our cities. And sometimes the things that are most precious to us seem to be lost. David didn't lose anything. God gave it all back to him. Can you imagine Job when they came and told him, your cattle have been lost, all your cattle, you lost all your sons, your daughters, all this lost. But the last part of the book of Job says that God gave him back sevenfold everything that he lost. Even his own wife said to him, won't you just curse God and die? David encouraged himself in the Lord. That's what the book of Revelation is all about. is to be encouraged in the Lord. Sometimes we are like Ziklag. It seems like we've lost everything. It seems like the devil overruns everything. It seems like the devil is overrunning America. He may do it. It seems like the devil at times has overrun churches. Some churches he has destroyed. But that destruction was by the will of God for some reason. But God's people are always assured that ultimately, we will recover all of it. Nothing will be lost. We are victorious. And David encouraged himself in the Lord. And may God bless us that day by day we would be encouraged in the Lord. Our Father, we come to you here this evening hour. And at times, bad news comes to our ears. Some from a far distant land, we hear of bad things. Sometimes things near at hand, and we wonder, where is God? Why do these things happen? And yet, Lord, we know that you work all things for the good of your people. And so may each one of us, day by day, be encouraged in the Lord. Look to the Lord. Seek his counsel. Seek his guidance in all of our troubles and all of our trials. We know, Lord, that there's nothing ever taken you by surprise, nor has anything ever happened was not by your will. So we ask your Father that you would help us to be mindful that you're always in control and that our problems are but allowed by our Heavenly Father to bring us closer to our Savior. Go with us through this week. Guard over us. Guide us. May we be all encouraged in the Lord. Day by day, whatever befalls us, help us to be encouraged in the Lord. For Christ's sake, I pray. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.